Good morning.
I know, you don't think it's morning. It's always morning somewhere, isn't it? Okay. I am delighted to be able to come and share the Word of God with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, here at Pontai Baptist Church this evening. I don't preach tomorrow morning. I'm not real sure who is. If somebody doesn't show up tomorrow morning to preach, I'll be here and I'll go ahead and stand up here again. But I think the one who's preaching tomorrow morning was not available this evening, and so I have the precious honor of doing this tonight. The title is Abraham's Growth in Faith. Now, Abraham in the scriptures is known as the man of faith, the father of the faith. He was the very first Jew when God reached out and spoke to Abraham. Abraham and his wife Sarai, and his name was Abram at that time, which means exalted father. Sarai means princess. But he was living way over in what is now the southeastern end of Iraq, Ur of the Chaldees, as they called it. And the verse that I like the most in the scriptures that describes the faith of Abraham is one that could not have been used in the early days of his walk with God. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. But we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham this evening, and seeing what is it that happened in his life that brought about this eventual title of Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham, his father was not a follower of Jehovah, of Yahweh. Matter of fact, there's one place in the scriptures where it said his father, Terah, was actually a worshiper of idols. So how Abraham came about the knowledge of God would have been a divine act of God himself. At what point in his life, we do not know. Because the first time we meet Abraham in the scriptures, he is 75 years old, and his wife Sarai is 65. They have no children at that point in life either. And God simply spoke to Abraham, and see if I can get, there we go. This is what God says, and this is one of the greatest scriptures. This is, you know, early on in the New Testament, we had already had the creation, the flood, the Tower of Babel incidents and all that. So really, you know, a couple of thousand years had passed before we get to Abraham here. And this is just chapter 12 of Genesis. And the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a multi-pronged promise that God has made to Abram here. I want you to notice one thing, though. I think this is significant. The Lord, one of the promises is that he said, you will become a great nation. In other words, you're going to have a lot of offspring, okay? Now, God did not say through whom this offspring will come, at least not yet. It can be years later on before he finally says it will be through Sarai, okay? But his promise is, he said that Abram would become a great nation. Would spring out of Abram. Abram would have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren going down. God's blessings would be on Abraham and on his descendants, and his descendants would be blessings to many others. Thirdly, God would bless all peoples who are favorable toward the descendants of Abraham. But those who are the enemies of the descendants of Abraham, God said he would curse them, okay? I think this is significant also. The Lord is saying, Abraham, I'm blessing you in special ways. You don't know what I'm going to do right now, but I'm blessing you in special ways. And those people who side with you in the years to come, and with your descendants in the years to come, I will bless them. But whoever stands up against the descendants of Abraham, God said he would curse them. Okay? And I believe this curse and this blessing continues even into our day. He said, ultimately, he said, every ethnic group, he said, through you, all the families in the earth will be blessed. The word families here is speaking about all the different ethnic groups in the world. It's not saying the family of Jack Kennison, the family of Charlie Hedden, and the family of Brother Brian. All people groups. All the Thai, all the Malay, all of the Chinese from every different brand of Chinese. I understand there's over 200 Chinese dialects in China itself. That's a lot of language. So God is saying, through your descendants, I will bless, God will bless every ethnic group in the world. Okay? So, Abraham had this command. He had this promise, multiple promises here. He's probably scratching his head, my goodness, little old me? How's all this going to come about? But God, but Abraham obeyed the command. He got up. He left Ur of the Chaldees. Actually, they had left. Had gone up to Haran with his father Terah and his brother and Lot and everything they had. Moved up to Haran, and then after they were in Haran, then God said, "Okay, Abraham, now leave your father. You know it's time to leave and go down to the land. I'll show you." And that's when he moved to Canaan. He'd never been there before. This is just the place that God led him to. And that was ultimately the land that God also promised to give to Abraham and his descendants. And then comes the times of testing. In chapter 12, my friend, this is in the same chapter where God promised to bless him. Abraham gets ready to throw his wife Sarah under the bus. I may have to say, but he's getting ready to throw her under the camel. Okay, so they didn't have buses back then. He said, when he was about to enter Egypt, there was a famine in Canaan at that time. So they needed to leave Canaan and go over to Egypt where there was still food and there's still water. He said, when he was about to leave Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So, say that you're my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. What had God just told Abram? The first three, he said, you're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. You're going to become a great nation. And here, Abram takes Sarah and everything he has, goes into Egypt and said, listen, you know, I'd certainly hate to see God fail to fulfill this promise, so I'm going to give him a little hand here because you're one beautiful lady. Even at 65, Sarah was a beautiful lady, you know. That's great. That's great. As time passed, her beauty became that a thing of the inside. She died at age, I think it's 137 or something like that, ultimately. But so Abram says, you know, you're just so pretty that I'm afraid we go there into Egypt, and these are a bunch of really rough dudes over there in Egypt. I'm afraid that when they see you, and they say, she is so pretty, and Abram, he's just an old man, so let's kill him and take his wife. So, and actually, it was just a half lie. Of course, a half lie, a half truth is a full lie, isn't it, okay? Because Abram and Sarah, they either had the same father or the same mother. The scripture does, I don't believe it really indicates there. So they were really kind of half brother, half sister, but they got married as husband and wife. So he says, just tell them this little lie, okay? It's not a full-blown lie. It's just kind of a part of a lie, so maybe God will let this one get by. And, of course, exactly what happened when he said, she's my sister, then Pharaoh had Sarah taken into his palace, okay? And it wasn't too long later on that Pharaoh found out that Sarah was not Abram's sister, but was his wife. And he was not very happy camper. And so he calls Abraham before him and says, why did you lie to us, you know? You've lied to me, you know? And so he had already given Abram a lot of stuff, you know, because here, Abram's sister was now part of the harem of the Pharaoh. And as a matter of fact, most likely this is where Hagar came from, because Hagar, wound up later on, we'll meet her, is the servant of Sarah, and she was Egyptian. Now, I don't think they brought any Egyptians with them down from Ur of the Chaldees. So most likely, Hagar was one, was a gift that Pharaoh had given to Abram and his family. So anyway, Abram, and he gave them all kinds of camels and sheep and goats and everything else. So Pharaoh said, it's time for you to go back home. So they're out of there with all the stuff that the Pharaoh gave them. And you know, it's interesting because Abram did the very same thing in chapter 20. He has to go to another land, King Abimelech, and he says, tell him you're my half-sister, and Abimelech takes him in the house, and all the women's, none of them could have babies, and Abimelech figured out something's going on here. So he found, twice, Abraham, this is not exactly what you would call a man of great faith in the promises of God at that point in his life. So Abram grew in his faith. Chapter 15 says, and Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless. Okay? He'd gotten the promise. He had no son yet. He was not getting any younger. Sarai was definitely not getting any younger. So he said, Lord, you know, what will you give me? I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought Abram outside and said, look toward the heavens and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So here we see faith springing up. God had already said, Abram, you're going to be the father of a multitude of people. And here, years are passing. Still no kid. Wife's getting older. He's getting older. He said, you know, Lord, I didn't get a son yet. And all the stuff that I've got, you know, who's going to inherit it? You know, I have no son, and so my chief servant, Eliezer from Damascus, he's going to inherit everything that God got. The Lord said, come here. Follow me, okay? Let's go outside. It's nighttime. You know, had to have been nighttime because they could see the stars. He looked up. I don't know if you've ever seen the stars outside of a city. If you've been on the top of a mountain where there's no lights, no man-made lighting at all. Years ago, I was down in Ecuador on a mission trip, and in a village about 10,000 feet high in the Andes Mountains. At nighttime, in this village, there's no electricity. And I got it, and I looked at the stars, and I had never seen such a glorious sight. I just stood there in awe of the stars that I saw. I mean, just so bright, and just thousands and thousands of them. Here in the city, you look up, you're lucky if you can see the moon on a clear night in this city with all the smog and fog and everything we've got around here. But that was the sight that Abram looked at. He said, and the Lord said, look at that. If you can count all of those, you're going to have as many kids as that is. And actually, I think the scientists say the human eye can only count up to about 10,000 stars in the sky at nighttime. But Abram got the point that a God was going to be faithful. Abram had begun to doubt the promise of God. He was having a fear that he was going to have no son. And God assures him, he says, it is going to happen, Abram. And Abram decided that he was going to believe what God said. Okay? He believed what God said. Yet, in the very next chapter, his actions kind of indicate that he maybe was not 100% totally convinced that God was going to come through with this promise. Has that ever happened to you? You know, the Lord promises you something and you wonder, well, you know, like Jesus said, you know, whoever believes in me has eternal life. Eternal life. Well, that means life is never going to end. Sometimes you get to think, if you live in a, and you're having a pretty bad time not living the way you know you need to be living, and you think, boy, man, if I don't straighten my act out, get my act cleaned up here, I'm not sure if God will accept me in heaven or not. Well, he's already made you the promise, hasn't he? And God doesn't break his promises. Matter of fact, one of the most pagan fellows in the Bible was the fellow that was hired, Balaam, the prophet, was hired by the Moabites to curse the Jews. And even this old prophet, he said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not fulfill it? Has he spoken and will he not do it? And that coming from the lips of a man who did not even believe in God, okay? But here Abram, he's got the promise from God, said, you will have a son, and I will, and your son will have offspring, and I will bless you and your descendants through the son that will be born from your own body. But here in chapter 16, very next chapter, said, now, this just blows my mind. Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived. Now, it was apparently, from my reading of the background of the peoples of the world, of the Middle East at that time, that if a wife was barren and had done everything she could to have children, that they would take a servant and use her as a sort of a, not really a concubine, it'd be more of a surrogate mother. So the servant would sleep with the husband, have a child, and then any children born from that servant would be considered the children of the major wife, okay? So that's why Sarah says that I may obtain children by her, okay? Now, think back. God has told Abram, he said, Abram, you will have a son, and through your son I will bless. And the promises will come through your son. But God had not specifically said at any point up to now that the son born to him would come from Sarai, or from Sarah, as he changed the name. And so Sarah's thinking, well, God didn't say I'd be the mama, so maybe we need to help God fulfill his promise here and find another mama. And so that's exactly what happened. And of course, that was not what God intended to happen. Their fears and their efforts to control the outcome demonstrated a distrust toward God and toward the promise that he had made. And the actions of Abram and Sarah has had repercussions all through history to this very day. Who are the sons of and the descendants of Ishmael? Mostly the Arab world. So, problems. Chapter 17. And God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. Now, this is the first time that God says specifically to Abram, the son will come through Sarah. Sarah? She's at least 75 years old at this point. Okay? Said, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed to himself and said, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And so shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. Or Isaac. How do you say here in this country? Isaac, is that right? Okay. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you, and behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. So here the Lord lays out in details. He gives him a timeline, finally. Now, at this point, 24 years had passed. 24 years had passed since God first made the promise to Isaac, to Abraham, back in Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I'll bless you, you know, leave this land, leave your father's family, go to the land I'll show you, and I'll bless you, and I'll give you descendants galore. Abram was 99. Sarah was 89 at this point right here. And the Lord said, this time, next year, you will have a son. And his name is going to be Isaac. Now, Abram had been living long enough and had seen God's hand of blessing on him, his protection in the times of danger. There was one point in Abram's life when they had gone into in Canaan. There was a group of kings who were enemies of the kings that Abram had aligned himself with. And they had attacked these kings and defeated them. They had taken Lot and his family off as prisoners of war. Abram finds out, he and his 380 guys, they went out and they chased down these kings who had already defeated many of the other kings in Canaan. And he was able to recoup all of the spoils of war, got Lot back and everything. But it put Abram in danger, okay? Because those kings that he defeated, I mean, they had thousands in their army, and Abram's thinking, my goodness, Lord, now I'm really in hot water here, because these people are going to come get me. And the Lord said, no. He said, I'll protect you. Abram had experienced the protection and the leadership of God in his life, in spite of his own personal failings, in spite of the times when his own faith was not what it needed to be. Okay? Next year, because you read on through Genesis here, and you find exactly 1 year from when God had made the promise, Sarah had this baby boy, Isaac. She's 90. I can remember when my mama was 90. She wasn't in any shape to have a baby, girl or boy, you know. Mom died at almost 93. I've often wondered, why did God wait so long to give a child to Abram and Sarah? And I believe the Bible really doesn't say specifically, but if you read between the lines, the Lord was trying to bring Abraham and Sarah to the point in their life where they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God keeps his promises, that what he says, he will do. And the Lord had to bring Abram and Sarah through many experiences to get them to that point. Now what God is getting ready to ask Abram to do, he could not have done before it happened. And it's the story of the testing. Genesis 22. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And I believe all of us have read this story enough to know what happened next. They travel for about 2 or 3 days. They get to mountains called Mount Moriah. And Abraham tells the two servants, you wait here. My son and I are going up the mountain to worship God. And we will be back. Yeah, he said, we will be back. Some people said, well, you know, Abraham was, he knew he was getting ready to kill his son. So he was just lying to these two. No, Abraham was not lying. He was not lying. He was speaking what he knew would happen. How it would happen, he had no idea at that point. And so Isaac, you know, we don't know how old he was. He's at least probably 11 or 12 years old, because he was the one carrying the wood up the mountain. And as they're going up the mountain, you know, Isaac looks at his dad. He said, well, Dad, got the wood and you got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And you know Abram's reply. He said, God will provide on the mountain. God will provide the sacrifice. So they get up there, and Abram builds the altar, sets the wood there, ties up his son, lays him on the altar, you know. I'm hoping that God videotaped this, because I really want to see this when I get to heaven, you know. I really want to see this, you know. It didn't say that he had to struggle with his son. Apparently the son was willing to do whatever his father was doing. He was submissive. He honored his father. And he took the knife to kill his son. But before he was able to bring the knife down and make the sacrifice, the Lord spoke and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not harm the boy. And he turned around, he sees this ram in the bushes, horns caught in the branches of the bush, takes his son off the altar, puts the ram there, they sacrifice it, burn it up, go back down the mountain. The both of them did return. What brought Abraham to that point in his faith where he was willing to do that, you know? If when Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah 65, and God said, I'm going to give you a son, and you're going to have that son next year, okay? Well, if he had the son when he was 76 and Sarah 66, and then 10 years later, if God had said, now, Abraham, I want you to take that son to the mountain and sacrifice him, Abraham would have said, who's that talking? That's not my God. My God would not have me do something so abominable. God does not require human sacrifice, you know. He would have been quite, he would not have been a point in his faith because of experiences with God where he could have immediately obeyed. Because the verse says, the next morning, early the next morning, Abraham got up and he saddled the donkey and took his son, the two servants, they headed straight for the mountain that God had pointed out. So the explanation is actually given in the book of Hebrews, okay? The chapter 11 in Hebrews, which we call, that's the chapter of faith. It talks about the faith of so many of the godly men and women in the Old Testament. And this is what the author of Hebrews says about Abraham. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in fact in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. What Hebrews is saying is, you know, Abraham knew that God had said the blessings and the ancestors and the myriads of peoples that are going to come, be descendants of Abraham, are going to come through Isaac. Well, Isaac wasn't old enough even to be married, much less have kids at that point. And so the thought is, of course, how is God going to fulfill his promise if Isaac is dead? And the writer goes on and said, he considered that God was able to even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So apparently the thoughts of Abraham was, you know, I'm getting ready to kill Isaac, but God is going to fulfill his promise through Isaac. So the only reasonable explanation is that when I kill my son, God will bring him back to life. Well, I cannot imagine the relief in Abraham's heart when he heard the voice of the Lord saying, don't touch the boy. I have provided the sacrifice. So the words of Paul in Romans chapter 4 that we first read, said, no distrust made him, that is Abraham, waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Faith. Abraham, the man of faith. Faith is really a very simple thing. It's simply knowing that God keeps his promises, that God will not lie to us. Know God, know his promises that we find in the Word, know that he will keep these promises, live in obedience to the promises and commands of God, pray to the Lord with this kind of faith in mind, and wait for God's timing. Abraham and Sarah, they waited 25 years before they had this baby, but what an amazing, amazing event for a child to be born to a lady who's 90 and a dad who's 100. Our Heavenly Father, you are amazing. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We are worshipers of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, and the sons of Jacob. We thank you, Lord, for all the amazing promises that you have given to us in your holy word. We thank you especially for that promise that you have given us in John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, you told Abraham to give his son, and you said, no, I'm providing the sacrifice. And many, many years, decades after Abraham, you came, your only son, and you provided him as a sacrifice for us. A guilt offering on the cross paid for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you have kept the promise that you made to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 when you said, through Abraham's descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Lord, you have blessed us through the descendant of Abraham that came through the tribe of Judah, through the family of David, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you that you always keep your promises. Help us to walk with that and live with that in mind and never forget. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.